Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC Studios, this is Money Talking at Work. I'm Charlie Herman. Forming real, valuable connections at work, it can be kind of hard. And technology and data make it even easier to avoid having to speak with people face-to-face, especially if you need to have a really tough conversation with them.
I'm not against data, I'm not against technology, but I think we need to reclaim that space for our humanity that allows us to value things that we can't measure, that we can't quantify.
This is Tim Leberecht, a marketing and brand strategist who is really invested in finding new ways to help people connect. For example, he co-founded 15 Toasts. It's a twist on a typical business meeting, or in this case, a dinner meeting. At each one, there's a theme like courage or risk. And then each of the 15 people attending have to give a toast on that theme.
We had CEOs cry. We had leaders of nonprofit organizations share wonderful stories. And the next morning when these people meet again, the way they interact is very, very different. They hug each other. You know, there's a sense of intimacy and trust and bonding that they wouldn't have had if they just engaged in a more transactional, conventional business setting.
Also, as a little incentive, the last person has to sing their toast. Anyway, he wrote a book called The Business Romantic that makes the case for the economic value of things that we can't measure or quantify, like romance and connection. So I wanted to know if the stuff that he wrote about in that book relates to anything we're talking about in this series, really thriving in the workplace.
Yeah, it does. You know, I'm very interested in ways to re-enchant our work lives, and loneliness, or on the positive side, intimacy and enchantment and creating deep, meaningful connections at work is definitely a key feature of more meaningful, of more enchanted work lives. So yeah, I'm very interested in vulnerability and ways to find deeper meaning at work behind the facade of data-driven truths and insights.
Is that really possible for every job?
Well, I think it might be easier for the types of roles that I was in, and it's certainly easier as a knowledge worker than, say, for an industrial worker. But I do believe as long as we have some autonomy in terms of how we frame our work for ourselves, and as long as there's some autonomy in terms of how we manage our schedule and the way we do our work, I think it is possible to find romance in work and find deeper connections at the workplace. Absolutely.
Do you get people, when they hear what you're talking about, sort of reacting with a sense of romance at work? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that happens. I mean, romance has different connotations, and some people say, "Well, romance at work? No, we really don't want that. That's for our HR department." We strongly discourage that. So I'm not talking about romantic relationships. Romance is, I think, to me is the antidote to a world that is completely quantified and only believes in data-driven truths. That's what I mean by romance. It's the inexplicable, something magical that we can't quite explain, and we can definitely not quantify.
I think it's so hard for people to be intimate even in their personal lives. The idea that people are going to open up and perhaps be vulnerable in the workplace seems really difficult.
It is, and yet it is so rewarding. Research shows that intrinsically motivated, inspired teams that really bring their full selves to work are not only happier and more fulfilled at work, but they also make for better, more productive teams. So I think both for workers and for the companies that employ them, there's a great incentive to allow for more vulnerability, more authenticity, and not reduce our work lives to this narrow slice of our humanity that we seem to pursue sometimes.
If you want to have that kind of close relationship with your coworkers, what are ways to go about doing that?
Walking meetings is one idea. The company I worked at, NBBJ, most recently, an architecture firm, we actually had walking meetings, and we used to send basically maps and itineraries of the walks as attachment to the meeting invites. So it became a part of the culture at the firm.
I mean, what is it about a walking meeting that fosters a closer connection than just sitting in a room talking to somebody about whatever issues you need to talk about?
So when you walk and you leave the usual work environment and the meeting in a meeting room, and you go out on a walk, it's a different experience. And you just open up. You open up quite literally just by walking. You experience the other in a different way. It just is a much more closer, more intimate connection. So I think that's why it helps. It's the same principle that applies to all of the rules, which is really pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, create a moment of surprise, a moment of attachment that just deviates from the typical work routine.
So what are some other ways that you can form closer connections with your coworkers?
Surprises. Surprises are interesting because when we are surprised, we are really caught off guard and we're true. We're true to our emotions. We're authentic.
Can you give me an example of one of these surprises?
For example, there are companies such as Etsy, the e-commerce side, that have launched a what it calls a Ministry of Unusual Business. So it can mean that you meet in a different meeting space, or you do a meeting without an agenda, or you change the seating arrangement, or somebody else runs the meeting, or everybody shows up with white socks one day. So it's these small rituals, seemingly mundane rituals, hacks of the day-to-day routine that create surprise and that just create more intimacy in the process.
I guess I'm just thinking on those occasions, personally, if I've been having a bad day, if something were to come in a surprise like that, I don't know if I'd be in the right humor to take a moment like that. And it might actually be more irritating than it might actually be, oh, this is surprising, puts me in a good mood, and I'm glad I work at a place like this. That do you end up like some people might not connect to that kind of action and attempt to form connections in the office?
Some people might not. I think it's important to offer our escape paths or opt-out possibilities, right? So it cannot be too intrusive so that everybody is really forced into something they're really clearly uncomfortable with. But I think as long as it's an invitation that you can decline, the concerns shouldn't be too bad. But I think overall, my experience has been that people really appreciate it.
I guess I'm just thinking about that some people might respond to this like, look, I work really hard. I have my family to take care of. I got a lot of other things to deal with. Like the idea that now I need to become closer and more intimate with my coworkers, like that sounds exhausting. I'm exhausted in life already, and now I need to make closer attachments and be vulnerable to the people that I work with?
First of all, I would tell these people, you spend the majority of your waking hours at work, most likely. And at the end of the day, I mean, we all work not only to make a living, but work is also a powerful vehicle to find meaning in life, you know? And I mean, and I think for that very reason, it's important that we don't just give in to productivity, efficiency pressures and automation, you know, very soon, but that we reclaim that space where we can be vulnerable, emotional, maybe even erratic, and just closer to each other. It doesn't mean that you have to be best friends with coworkers, and you don't have to force yourself to like people you don't like. It just means that you can design your experiences so that they are more meaningful and more intimate in a way.
What's the end goal of having surprises or, you know, interacting with people that maybe you have never spoken to before in the office?
Well, first of all, there's research that shows that talking to strangers makes us happier. So, you know, as we are social animals and we need to be social animals and talk to people, especially people we don't know, there's great value in talking to strangers. It just makes you happier, makes you more fulfilled. Then another benefit is, of course, for the team, for the organization, is to create stronger ties between coworkers. And I think lastly, I would say, because we spend so much time at work and we know that we live in an age of loneliness where, ironically, we're more disconnected or more lonely than ever, despite all the communication technologies we're using. Work, where we spend so much of our time, has a great responsibility in actually creating intimacy and helping us overcome loneliness and creating social capital and bonding between people.
What's at risk for the individual and for the company if people are isolated and lonely and not connecting with each other?
Well, there's a huge cost associated with that, right? It's, it is a loss in productivity. It's been shown that intrinsically motivated, inspired people who are really committed to their job or really like what they're doing and feel at home, feel a sense of belonging, that they're more productive, they're more creative as well. And there's also for the organization a potential loss, cost of having to retain and having to rehire people who might just leave the organization because they feel like they didn't belong. So if you have a workforce that is really, truly bought into your mission and really believes in what you do and feels at home, and not just in a sense of believing in your mission, but also really experiencing that every day at work, then I think you have a winning formula, and that's something that every company should pursue.
Tim, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Tim Lebrecht is a marketing and brand strategist interested in getting people to connect in unquantifiable ways. He's also the author of the Harvard Business Review article, In the Age of Loneliness, Connections at Work Matter. So what do you think? Does your company have walking meetings? Do you wish it did? Does the thought of a dinner with strangers make you want to grab your phone and hide behind it? Whatever you're feeling, surprise us. Send an email to moneytalking@wnyc.org. We'd love to hear from you. And if you like what you hear, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And when you're there, write us a review. It really helps get the word out. Money Talking is a production of WNYC Studios. Our team includes Bill Moss and Seth Kelly. Special thanks, as always, to Amy Poftek at the Harvard Business Review. I'm Charlie Herman. Thanks for listening.